Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast with your host, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sharman Phillip. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Liftoff Jets. You can follow myself at CP7NY, and you can follow Sharman at GrownFolk1980. And you can also catch our podcast wherever you find your podcasts at Spotify, Apple, Google, and iHeartRadio. And you can also find us at sportswireradio.org. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at Thomas Bryce 2017, for all the other shows and scheduling, the scheduling for all the other shows on there. So, Sharman, we have a very special guest today.
Yeah, we were stepping out a little bit on a little tangent, but not too far out enough that I think most Jets fans will be comfortable with. Yeah. We have Mr. Lee Valentine with us, New York-based comedian. Better known as his alter ego, Hootie Johnson. But yeah, man, I mean, it's awesome to have you, Lee. Thank you for coming on, man.
Yo, Chris, Sharman, thank you for having me. It's good to be on Liftoff. Appreciate you guys putting me on, man. This is dope.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, we appreciate you, man, because we love the community, you know. Everybody that's a Jets fan that come around, you know, we try to talk to everybody, try to see where they, you know, where they fall, where they at about everything. We're basically never a consensus. As much of one of the only things we agree on as Jets fans is the fact that the Jets make our lives miserable. That's basically the one thing we agree on. But I wanna have this conversation. And we want to start from the beginning because, in my opinion, as a Jets fan, I have to ask, where was your head that night when Aaron Rodgers ran onto the field with that that flag, man? Where was your head, man?
All right, so I have Jets season tickets, and unfortunately, I missed the first game because it's on the same week as my wedding anniversary. So my wife and I were in Aruba. So we go down by the bar. Beautiful, beautiful day. I'm so excited. You know, I'm seeing people, you know, in the hotel or in the resort with their Jets gear on. Everybody's excited. We're looking forward to it. We get to the bar, and the bar is just nothing but Jets fans watching the game. Everybody's excited, you know, to see the I miss kind of the opening, but I see when he comes out with the flag. And I'm getting goosebumps. I'm like, this is what I've waited for all my life. And just take a step back, Aaron Rodgers was my favorite, is my favorite non-Jet of all time. Because he won me some money in fantasy football many, many moons ago. So that's where my love for him started. So we're sitting by the bar and we're all excited. I couldn't believe it. And then as soon as the play happens, and I saw him sitting down or look over to the bench, I'm like, no, this is it. This is exactly what everybody thought would happen. And I hate to admit it, but it was like something bad is going to happen. And I even tweeted about this before the season started when he first strained his calf. I said, uh-oh, that could be something later on. I hope this doesn't happen. Put this guy in bubble wrap. So anyway, to make a long story short, he ruined the rest of my vacation. And my wife has considered leaving me since then. So because I haven't been happy.
I will agree with you. I will say that all our wives criticize us about our fandom at some point. I get it at my house. I go to my brother-in-law's house. I get it over there. Wherever I go, you know. So we understand completely, man. But that was peak Jets.
Misery.
It was like it was like 99 all over again with Vinny.
With Vinny Testaverde, yeah. But to be honest, I'll tell you this. I still thought, you know, obviously they win that game in dramatic fashion. Mm-hmm. And I still thought that the team that they put together was still good enough to compete to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately that wasn't the case. I thought for sure that Zach Wilson was going to come in. And even though, You know, we haven't seen him at his best. I thought that he would be able to put together a decent season, and unfortunately that didn't happen.
Yeah. Do you, as most Jets fans, do you put most of the onus of this season's collapse at the feet of Robert Saleh and his coaches?
Here's the thing, man. In context, the defense has been remarkable, right? Even I think the defense is even better than the Rex years. And we have these guys come out of nowhere, like Bryce Huff and Quincy Williams and even Tony Adams and all of these guys that are playing, you know, like we didn't expect them to play. And that has to do with scheme and you know, understanding of the playbook and finding guys who are capable of fitting the scheme and performing above their pay grade, right? So I gotta say, it can't be all bad because at least half of the team is good. We know that for sure, right? You know, you take the draft, the 22 draft, where they get Jermaine Johnson, they get, you know, Breece Hall, they get all of these guys who were stars and starters on the team. So Joe Douglas, even though these guys take blame for the offensive side of the ball, you know, the defense is really, really, really good, right? So there's some things that they can shore up on the offense. Obviously, they have a new coordinator because it didn't work out with MLF. And we're not getting the results that they want. But let's say you get rid of Saleh, you know, and you bring an offensive-minded coach in. Now the defense sucks. So, you know, these one thing I will say about Saleh is that these guys did not give up during the season. In each of the last two seasons towards the end of the year, you know, these guys did not give up at all. They played hard to the very end, and that's really all you can ask for, and that has something to do with the coaches. Even though there is a lot of blame to go around, I think Corey Davis leaving the team when he did, and I hope his mental health is okay, and I hope everything is okay with him, but I think that was a big loss for us this year, and even his blocking on the outside and the veteran presence, and you know, maybe there's a couple of third down plays that we get back if we have him in the scheme, and maybe some big plays, and he was helpful to Zach while he was here. I think that had a lot to do with it. So to answer your question in a long-winded way, I think you at least have to give these guys till next year with Aaron Rodgers to see where you go. But I'm not a proponent of flipping GMs and flipping coaches every 4 years. That hasn't worked for sure.
Yeah, there has to be some kind of continuity on the team.
Right.
Essentially,
right.
To build a team. So I think we have to head in that direction. And like you said, we got to give them at least one more season. Right.
With yeah.
Healthy Aaron Rodgers. Now, here's the bad part. Right. Like, are the Jets, like we, you know, Sharman and I, we've been talking about this for the past few weeks. Like, can we expect Joe Douglas to fix this offensive line, right? Find two starting offensive tackles, find a backup quarterback, find a wide receiver to run with, you know, Garrett Wilson. Can he fix this all in one offseason and go into 2024 with a team that's going to be a playoff caliber team? That's where I'm kind of like, can he do this? How do you feel?
I think it's a tall task, right? And I think that, you know, teams are built over time. So one of the best organizations, or two of the best organizations that we know of, are the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Ravens, right? They have some down years, but for the most part, they're pretty consistent. They've had the same coach for 15 plus years. They've had the same staff. They bring in players that they know, regardless of where they pick in the draft, you know they're going to find a guy that fits their system because they have a plan in place, right? You can't develop, like you said, continuity, or you can't develop that plan if you're flipping identities every 4 years, right? We know the Jets are going to draft players on defense with this regime. They're going to draft players on defense, and they need to find that same continuity on offense, right? So we're hoping that they can get it right. I think at least, right, they have AVT coming back. Tippmann, we know, was a solid pickup. Max Mitchell, even though he had some, you know, some games where he wasn't as good and he's been out a little bit, we know that he's serviceable. You got the kid Warren. So I think if you have these guys back and you add to that, you'll have a pretty decent core. And obviously Aaron Rodgers is going to make up for a lot of things that we're missing on the offense. So I think he can fill those holes. But I think what we have in-house, giving these guys, you know, a second year under the offensive system, I think they will be better next year. So to answer your question, yes, I do believe that it's possible that he can find, you know, some guys to fill some of these holes.
I'm of the mindset that paying close attention to the offensive line and their struggles during the season, one of the things that kind of stuck out to me was the fact that they struggled with communication issues all season, and it didn't matter who it was that was there. And yes, I will give them a benefit of the doubt to a certain extent when you're changing guys' positions constantly and you're also changing guys because of the massive amount of injuries.
Right.
The problem I have is we've witnessed this around the league. I watch more football than the Jets, and I've seen other teams struggle with the same issue. But I didn't witness a team that had the multiple communication issues that they had all season. Right. To me, that plays back to the new offensive line coach in Kevin Carter, who before he came to the Jets, there were kind of whispers after he left the Titans that the, you know, some of the old O-line guys were like, you know, they were kind of iffy about him and his kind of a, you know, old way of doing things, and he was not really that flexible and stuff like that. Right. And it just happened. Now you kind of seeing the same thing happening over here. Yeah. Do you believe that, you know, that with, you know, or did you notice what I saw, or do you think that he needs to be changed, or do you think there's a way they could plug that hole for next year?
No, I think here's the issue. I did see there's a lot of communications on the O-line, but it has to do with also to, like you said, changing guys, bringing guys in and out. But again, we have, I'll give you an example. The Cleveland Browns had a ton of issues on their offensive line, had a ton of players out, and their offensive line kept working. However, that offensive line looked okay when Joe Flacco was in there. They looked great when Deshaun Watson and Joe Flacco were in there. They didn't look as good when they had the other quarterback. So I think the quarterback has something to do with it, right? Because you can kind of like the quarterback can kind of like see things and help you out while you're in there, right? So I think the quarterback has, and again, that's on Aaron Rodgers. He'll shore some of that stuff up, I'm sure. But you definitely need a veteran quarterback to kind of help you out with these things, right? With protection schemes and things that they're seeing in game. And I think the Hackett, knowing the deficiencies in the offensive line, he couldn't get them to do basic things right. Right. So I know we went kind of vanilla a little bit, but you know, if they couldn't get the basic things, I mean, we saw Mekhi, you know, getting blown by guys we've never heard of before, right? Several times. I think he's a great offensive tackle at the point of attack, but you know, it has a lot to do with, it could be coaching, but it also has a lot to do with the guys being out of position and new guys coming in and also a quarterback. So all these things have to work in conjunction for the offense to look good. And none of it worked, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. The whole Becton issue for me, one of the things that surprised me the most about him was it wasn't only him. That's why I've been kind of beating up on Kevin Carter a little bit. Just, you know, just to show you. And the reason why I did was because, yes, the communication issues were one issue. One of the things I realized that a lot of these players were basically lunging at a lot of the time. That's why Becton was getting beat a lot. The game, the Miami game, was one of his worst games in his career. And one of the reasons why is because Chubb would basically have him, force him to overset, because Chubb is pretty quick on the edge. And then Chubb would just make an inside move. And it happened so often because he never brought his feet with him. So he literally would lunge at Chubb outside, and your feet are stuck in the mud, so you can't, you know. So he struggled with that. But if you paid attention across the line, a lot of those guys, a lot of them, when they were in space, they were having the same issues.
That's kind of like, are these things that are very basic? Because, I mean, at this level, right? Mm. If you're having those issues, it's not really on coaching, right? The coach is going to help you identify the defense. The coach is going to help you watch the film and figure out what guys, you know, the guys who you're lining up against, tendencies. You're looking at team tendencies. But if we're talking about technique at this level, I'm not sure that it makes a difference. I mean, Billy Turner, right, was one of the worst offensive linemen we've ever seen in the history of the game. And in fairness to him, he was playing out of position a lot of time, of course, and he was asked to do things that he probably couldn't do. So no disrespect to him, professional athlete in great shape, whatever. But he, you know, you can't coach him to have better technique, you know. And you have 18 weeks in the season, and you have some weeks, you know, 4 weeks in the off season. You know, he didn't even expect to be playing. So, you know, I don't know if it's coaching so much or if it's coaching, it's maybe you're thinking too much, right? And not reacting. Like, everything should be second nature when you're out there, and you shouldn't be thinking so much. So maybe that has something to do with what they're thinking about, or not being sure about the plays. But, you know, it's very difficult to pinpoint. But what we're talking about, technique from these guys who are professionals, I don't know if that's coaching.
Lee, you mentioned that that Aaron Rodgers was your favorite player outside of the Jets. Now, coming back next year, 40-plus now years old, coming off the Achilles injury and all that, what are your expectations of him on the field? Like, I know the leadership, it's going to be off the charts, because we've seen that already. It's going to, that part's going to impact so much more on the team. But what do you expect from him on the field, like his performance? Because his last year in Green Bay was not his best. I mean, he was 39, but it was the year after he won two straight MVPs. But it seemed like he, you know, it went down a little bit that last year. What do you expect now after not playing in a year and then the injury? What do you expect?
Yeah, I think him losing Devontae in that last year maybe had something to do with it. But also, you know, Lazard played pretty well that year, but he had some rookies on the outside who actually looked pretty good with Jordan Love. I'm not even going to lie. But, you know, I expect him to do a lot less talking on the McAfee show. That's for sure. That's the first thing that I'm expecting.
let's try and hope that happens.
Yeah,
a lot less political stuff.
People had enough of that.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I agree.
You know, I'm optimistic, man. That's the problem with me, and why I hate when the Jets lose, because I expect them to win every game, and I expect these guys to play, you know. We see other teams throughout the league who are just winning in spite of what they have or what they've done in free agency and, you know, strength of schedule and all of these things. So I'm like, why not us? Right. So I'm always optimistic. So I expect him, even if he doesn't, right, he's so cerebral, right, when he's on the field. Like, even if he can't move or he doesn't have the same arm strength, he can find ways to you know, to overcome those things that he might have had or he's missing now that he's a little bit older, right? So if he checks down to Breece, or if he sees something that the defense is doing, he can pretty much pick these guys apart without having to throw the ball 60 yards down the field, even though we know he can, right? So even though the agility and the the arm strength isn't there, the accuracy is still going to be there, right? The knowledge of the game is not going to change. So, you know, as long as you put players around him who can make plays, and he has that, right? You can't put 9 in the box against Aaron Rodgers.
No.
So Breece is going to go off, right?
Yes.
And then if you're doubling Garrett, right, you're going to have Brownlee on the outside, let's say, or, you know, he's going to lead his receiver rather than holding it, and I'm not going to throw this ball because he doesn't look that open, right? So even on the sidelines, he may be saying, all right, I see this is what's happening. This is how we can change it, and this is what we're going to do to, you know, and those are the things that a veteran quarterback like that can bring. So I'm not too concerned about age or, you know, lack of mobility with the Achilles, because he can overcome that with, you know, just how smart he is.
Yeah, I think overall, I understand those fans that go, well, you know, he's older, so he's more susceptible to injury and all that stuff. But I would ask, if you pay attention around the league this year, I mean, everybody's susceptible to injury.
It's the NFL,
man, you know?
Yeah.
It, you know, young, old, you know, does not matter what, how old you are playing NFL football.
Right.
You know, it happens.
I mean, yeah, look at Jaden Phillips. That kid was having, I think that's crazy. His name, from Miami. He was having a tremendous year this year.
Yeah.
And he's having a great game against the Jets, and all of a sudden, boom, he pops his Achilles.
Yeah.
You know, and so it can happen to anybody, and he's just coming into his own. He's probably reaching his prime now, but yeah, it can happen to anyone, man, at any time. So, you know, and when you're playing football, you can't worry about those things. I mean, some guys don't even care, right? Like, look at CJ Mosley. He's getting older, but he had a phenomenal year, even though he was getting his ass beat against the Browns. but you know, he's still a smart player, and he can, again, he's one of those guys who can make up for all of these things by how heady he is on the field. And again, some guys don't even care. They play with reckless abandon. Look at Quincy Williams, right? That motherfucker goes all out. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to curse, but he goes all out.
So good.
All game, every game, every play. So you can't play scared when you're in the NFL, because at any moment can be your last play. So I don't think that's gonna hinder him at all. And you know, if he is feeling like he's done, speaking of Aaron again, he's not gonna try to go out there and underperform or underachieve. He'll know that it's time to hang it up.
I agree. And the way he's been talking, it doesn't seem like he's done at all. And yeah, he's just looking forward to this. Yeah.
Yeah, he wants to keep playing. So as long as he wants to keep playing, I'll have him.
Of anybody that we've ever interviewed, I would think that you are the closest to understanding Woody Johnson. I would say, my question would be, do you buy into any of the fan talk that he somehow and his family, or he and his brother, plays a kind of a integral or part in the bad things that happen to the New York Jets?
You know, I will say this, winning cures all, right? So if they were winning, nobody would be saying anything about the owner, but the owner has to be responsible for the decisions that are made in totality, right? So if you want to say Chris Johnson is at fault because he hired or Woody's at fault because he hired Idzik, and then they're at fault for making a decision on Adam Gase and all of these terrible decisions, then yes, right? But again, if you want to say that he's Joe Douglas is the wrong guy, it's tough to say that, because again, he made the decision to get rid of Gase, and also he made the decision to hire Saleh, who everyone across the board, when Saleh was hired, said this is the right guy for the team. So, you know, everybody can play you know, hindsight is always 20/20. Everybody can play Monday morning quarterback, but right now, as it stands, I think that he made the right decision hiring Joe Douglas and allowing Joe Douglas to hire Robert Saleh. But also, if they continue to not play well, he also has to be responsible in making the decision on should he keep Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, right? So if he doesn't pivot from these bad move, from a bad move, or what's presumably, if they don't win or make it to the playoffs last year, next year, if he doesn't make the decision, then you kind of have to start questioning, you know, the ownership and decision. But again, if they're winning, we're not having this conversation.
Yeah, that's true. Sure. I think if there's another bad season like this, I don't think anybody survives. I mean, let's be
right. I agree. And he's going to be judged on the next person he hires, right? Because if they don't get it done, then you're going to have to say, all right, this guy, look, I'm a Knicks fan, right? So people for years, and people are still talking about James Dolan, and the guy hasn't been involved in the team in, you know, at least 7 years, right? He hasn't been involved in the decision-making. You know, he hired these guys, he's letting them make the decisions, and, you know, they're competing and they're better than they have been, you know, the 10 years prior to the last four or five seasons, right? So nobody, very few people are still talking about how terrible James Dolan is, because the product is much better, right? And you can see some progress. So again, if you don't see any progress, then yes, the owner has to make the decision. If he doesn't make the decision, then it all falls on him and everything is definitely his fault.
And you know what? You got to say this too. In any sport, New York is not the mecca, like in basketball, the mecca of basketball, right? New York City and New York is not that anymore, right? Because any player could go to any city now and have the same advantages, right?
The
advertisement, because everything is online. Everything is right. It's not
a personal brand. Yeah, you have your own personal brand. You can do whatever it is that you want. Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, I got to get to New York. I got to play in New York. Trust me, there's still players out there that would love to play in New York, whether it's the Knicks, the Jets, the Giants, the Yankees. They would love to put the pinstripes on in hockey.
Right.
Love to put the blue jersey on of the Rangers. So
right.
I think New York still has a little bit of that, but nowhere near as much as it did 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Right. And the cachet is definitely changed. New York is the biggest and brightest city, but you know, there's a lot of guys who want to play for their hometown teams or teams they grew up rooting for. Right. So, you can't go out and buy the best players anymore. You know, the Yankees can't go out and spend an infinite amount of money to get Yamamoto because, you know, he wants to play with his boy Ohtani, you know what I'm saying? So, you're right. That New York cachet has kind of worn off, and you know, it's you bring that up and I'm like, people were like, yeah, the Jets can go get Devontae. Like, who? Why? Why would the Raiders want to trade him and make like this is not 2K. It doesn't make sense, right? The fit has to be right. Now, if Devontae asks out and he wants to play with Aaron Rodgers, then yes. But the Jets just can't go out and make these moves that everybody wants them to. And that's kind of how you have to look at it in context. Like, people are like, well, Joe Douglas could have went out and gotten, you know, so-and-so. Well, why do people want to help the Jets win? I don't understand that. Everybody knows that we have needs, right? And there has to be something in there for them. And you know, everybody's like, well, why didn't he just trade 2 third-round picks and get this guy? Well, because maybe they don't want 2 third-round picks, dude. Like, what are we talking about? And I get it, man. We want action. We want to see, you know, things to make the team. We want to see moves made to make the team improve. But it just doesn't happen like that, man. But I think some of the things that we're seeing from Joe Douglas, with the decent drafts, like, people are upset about the drafts and you know, maybe missing out on some picks or maybe not taking this player, or maybe the Will McDonald pick. But, you know, a lot of his other picks have been, you know, home runs. And who are we grading him against, right? Are we grading him against the Ravens, or are we grading him against the Lions, or are we grading him against the Texans? Because to be honest, Derek Stingley was a terrible pick, you know, and the pick that the Jaguars made was a terrible, you know, when they picked the kid Walker out of Georgia, that might not have been the best pick, right? And they let Aiden Hutchinson go to the Lions. So who are we grading him against? You know, we drafted Sam Darnold. That wasn't a Joe Douglas pick, right? So, you know, it's being a GM is difficult, right? And as a fan, I understand that. So it's kind of tough for me to say that he's not doing anything, because, you know, you can't on one hand say he's not doing anything and on the other hand love Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson and Jermaine Johnson. You just can't, because, you know, he picked those guys. So I think he's doing a decent job.
I think our argument has been that he has been doing a decent job, but the one thing that he promised from the jump to do is to fix the Jets' offensive line. And wouldn't you agree that he's failed at that?
He has. But he also said it starts on the interior on both sides of the ball, and, you know, defensive line and the offensive line are both, you know, he's responsible for both, and the defensive line is pretty good. Even though Jefferson and Woods got hurt, I think Woods getting hurt was a big loss for them, and then obviously Jefferson getting hurt a couple weeks after. But, you know, for the most part, you know, getting Bryce Huff as a UDFA was incredible. Getting Quincy Williams was incredible. You know, getting Jermaine Johnson was an incredible pick. The Lawson thing didn't work out because he got hurt, and then, you know, he wasn't playing as well. But, you know, they moved on and they filled that spot with McDonald, and you know, getting JFM was a great move, right? So
yes.
You can be mad at him for the O line, but also you got to give him credit for the D line too.
That is true.
Yeah, we've definitely been giving him, you know, his flowers when it comes to those picks. to be completely honest, if we look at it you kind of look at it like, because the NFL, over the NFL landscape, I've been saying this for a few weeks now, it's like finding great offensive linemen are like finding a rare Pokemon. That's how I feel it, because it's something that I follow pretty closely, where you hear all these guys that basically spend their days training offensive linemen and following the ones that are actually pros, talk about how the skill of being an offensive lineman is kind of dying because of the way they're used in college. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not asking players to have true pass sets throughout games. Right. So guess what? If, you know, it's hard to evaluate an offensive lineman that has only had, you know, a couple hundred pass sets and he's been playing college football for 3 years. Right. That doesn't sound right at all. You know? So then you're taking him and you're putting him in the pro game where the pass sets in the NFL in college is easy and simple. What you're doing in the pros is ridiculous. So if you did not learn the basics properly, what you're going to be asked to do in the pros are going to be on another level. And to evaluate that, the process of evaluating that has proven to be incredibly difficult if you pay attention around the league. And it's even crazier, some of the best offensive linemen in the league are guys that played a ton of college football. Well, nobody mentioned them, nobody talked about them. And they came into the NFL and then they blew up. I off the top of my head, the couple of guys that started for the Browns, a couple of their guards, the Rams interior offensive line, you know, off the top of my head. And that is a tough ask, because you cannot, number one, you can't plug and play. Like you said, this is not Madden. You know, you just can't take a guy and just put it in there. So in an instant, when you think about it, looking at the situation from a grander scale, I understand where you stand. I understand that it is a difficult thing. But when, as a Jets fan, our problem is, you know, we could feel that we ain't too far away. Right, and we were like, man, the one thing you promised, you know, you can't give it to us. Man, come on, man, do something, you know.
For sure. Yeah, no doubt about it, man. I think, yeah, and you look around the league, you mentioned teams like the Rams and the Browns. I think, you know, a team like Detroit, also, they have a pretty impressive offensive line, too. And then, obviously, the Dallas Cowboys do. Yeah, but also, too, you know, if it was me, I'd just be to your point, you know, these guys in college don't really see the same thing in college as they do in the pros. I would just be picking guys from the SEC, you know, because they face, you know, pro level competition all the time. And, you know, it'd just be pick a guy, any guy. But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that, man. And yes, so he promised us, you know, that he would fix the O-line. But here's the thing, too, is that if you have the continuity, so MLF ran a different scheme than Hackett, right? So you drafted guys for MLF scheme, even though you got rid of MLF. So these guys, you know, have whatever their run block scheme is different from whatever Hackett's is. So now you have to draft guys this year that fit the culture, not only fit the culture, but fit the scheme that Hackett likes to run. Right. So since you have that changeover, I'll give them some leeway, not only for the injuries, but also being able to draft guys who, you know, fit that scheme specifically. And again, that's the reason why you have to have continuity, because you need to know going into every year what kind of players you need that fit your scheme and your identity within the offense and the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I love what you said there. Most definitely. But before we move on from offensive line, I gotta ask you, what was your take on Tomlinson when they paid him, and what in the hell has he been? Because if I to be honest, I just don't understand this player. I don't get it. Watched him play for the 49ers, bulldozer, right? Comes to New York and I don't know, man. What's your opinion on the guy?
I think I don't know. Is he who was lined up next to him, though? That's the bigger question.
Well, at one point it was McGovern on one side, and the other it was Brown on the other side last year.
Right. So with that, the cohesiveness with that unit, right? They played when they were all healthy. They played a lot better, right? Together, so. You know, sometimes a guy has to overcompensate for what's next to him, right? For anything that's deficient in the guy next to you, right? So they had a revolving door at center, right? And then, you know, a revolving door at tackle. So, you know, it's difficult, and he's getting up there in age too. But he's not great. But he's been as good as, you know, the guys playing next to him. So I'm not sure we can fully grade him. But he does have something to do with you know, what we're seeing on the offensive line, because we're seeing him getting beat too, you know.
Yeah.
So it's tough, man. It's tough. You want these guys. And again, is that Joe Douglas' fault? Because we thought it was a home run signing, right? And then he doesn't play like we expect them to play, and it's kind of hard. And now you have to pivot from that, and it's not easy, man. It's not easy.
And you know what? And he's key for next season, because if he could come back and just play near to the level that we thought he was going to come in and play, that's one less, you know, spot. That left guard spot will be set. Tippmann, like you mentioned earlier, he looks like he's going to be set at center. AVT, like, where's he going to end up? I think you know, maybe they might move him to a right tackle, so they
please have no.
Well, you don't want to, but I think that's what they might do.
Yeah. Well, no. So I think wherever he prefers to play, it'll probably be guard. But I heard Salah say that he's not moving him regardless of who's injured and regardless of what the needs are. So it seems like Salah agrees that moving him into the tackle spot wasn't the best idea, but he felt like with his versatility, he could move him there. And he said he's not going to move him. Wherever he goes, that's where he's going to stay. So it'll probably be guard.
Yeah.
And then he could be one of the best guards in the NFL.
Yeah.
Hands down, playing inside. That's how good that kid is. The fact that
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that the fact that he could play tackle, it's just all the injuries created all this other issues that you already have a ton of issues, number one. And then once the injuries started happening, in my opinion, that it just everything started rolling downhill, you know. And there was never really an appropriate answer for most of the issues that they were having. Right. My criticisms were not based on that. I think it was apart from that, because I think there's a way to teach as a coach ways to answer a lot of the issues the Jets were having. Because a lot of what you would do against the Jets were basically create issues where they had to communicate, where there were a lot of games and a lot of stunts where, hey, you know what? I'm going to go, you know, as the right guard, I'm going to go take this guy out, but I'm not going to stick my block because I got to come back inside. And what would happen is they would stay outside a little too long, creating the big hole that, you know, whoever it is that looped in, and poor Zach Wilson gets smashed because of it. And it was stuff like that was happening. That was my issue. Yeah. I knew that, you know, that they were having issues technically, like you said, earlier, that's understandable. Communication issues, in my opinion, is something that we need to talk more, you know, and there was not a lot of it going on.
Yeah. I will say this. I hate to say this, but Trevor Siemian it seemed like he had more time, or at least those communication issues didn't really affect him like they did Zach Wilson, right? And it just, I mean, talent aside, right, just having a better command of the offense was, you know, it's like when Zach Wilson is playing against Miami, he's getting chased by five guys. He's getting chased by five guys, and there's no offensive lineman in sight, right? But, you know, and I didn't really see those same things happening when Siemian was back there. So, again, that's kind of why I say Aaron Rodgers will help fix some of those communication issues that you see on the O-line. Because there won't be as much confusion from the quarterback position for these guys. But, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, for a long time, I thought, from the moment they drafted AVT, I'm like, oh, no, just give the ball to Breece, let Becton and AVT do their thing, and he's going to rush for 1,200 yards every year, you know, for the next 10 years. But unfortunately, it hasn't worked out that way, man.
Yeah.
So what's your...
Pretty unfortunate.
What's your ideal offseason for the Jets? Like, we get to the draft. Before the draft, what do you want the Jets to get before we get to the draft?
You know, I think just focus on the draft, man. I don't know if you can get – I already heard somebody say Bakhtiari's not coming. I already know that Devontae's not coming. So it's really to fill those needs, man. However you can, find a guy who fits the scheme, who's going to be solid, who's not going to be injury prone. And get those guys back, whether those guys are in-house that are free agents. I don't even know the free agent list, but I know it's pretty long. But, you know, make sure guys fit the scheme and they fit the culture of the team and they're available, because that's the biggest thing, availability. I don't know if you can fix this team or the offensive side of the ball in this draft. I certainly don't want to go into the draft and see us draft a fucking D tackle or
another edge rusher,
another edge rusher, or another, you know, at least for the first six rounds. You know what I'm saying? And I know we don't have a second round pick, but please don't draft another defensive tackle or another or a safety. Please don't. But yeah, offensive line, I think they should go offensive line heavy and, you know, maybe try to get back into the second round somehow. And you know, I mean, and I say this, you know, kind of tongue in cheek, but, you know, wide receivers are a dime a dozen, right? And again, I think Aaron Rodgers can make anybody look great. And we might even see Randall Cobb again next year. I don't know how, but we may see Randall Cobb again next year. You know, I think he looks different with Aaron Rodgers, but Xavier Gibson showed us something this year, and I think he'll be much better again with Aaron Rodgers. Brownlee showed us something in the preseason. He didn't have the best season when he finally did get a chance to play. But I think he's going to be okay. But yeah, fix the O-line, dude. That's the biggest thing. Yeah. You know, everything should be pointed towards that.
No doubt. I agree. Also, like, oh, what was the other thing? What? Oh, man. Sean, go ahead. I got to catch my – I got to get my thoughts.
Hold yeah. On. So we were – yeah, we were kind of beating a dead horse. I know you watch plenty of football. What was your biggest surprise of the 2023 season?
I got to be honest. I hate every other team. I try not to watch too much football other than the Jets. I'm not really into college football either. But I have watched the Giants. My dad is a Giants fan. So growing up, I would watch the Giants, root for the Giants, even though I'm a bigger Jets fan. When they face each other, it's Jets. But I do watch the Giants. The biggest surprise for me this year is the fall of the Philadelphia Eagles, man. You know, I watched them when they came to MetLife. And then I was at the game the other day just watching the Giants demolish them, like completely dominate them on both sides of the ball. Like Tyrod Taylor, and it made me kind of jealous. I was like, why didn't we sign Tyrod Taylor? No. But yeah, he was just, you know, moving around the field and dumping it off to Saquon and getting the ball down the field and all that stuff. And they look really, really great. And I'm like, what happened to Philadelphia? They seem so dominant early on in the season and, you know, coming off of, you know, whatever they were last year. So that was really the biggest improvement. But also there's so many stories, right? Like Detroit making it to the playoffs and Jared Goff being as consistent as he has been, even though he had a lapse in the middle of the year. But that team being consistent and being able to run the ball the way they can. The Browns, you know, even after making the mistake on Deshaun Watson, bringing in Joe Flacco, you know, Lamar Jackson having an MVP season after his standoff with the Ravens in the offseason for that contract. And you can say that he's worth it and worth more now. But yeah, those things. And then even Brock Purdy, dude. Like I thought, there's another thing that makes me upset why I don't watch other teams, because I'm like, why can't the Jets draft a guy in the ninth round on day six? You know what I'm saying? And have him come in and be MVP labor. Like, how does San Francisco keep doing this, right? Getting players you've never heard of. And we're like, oh, Sam Darnold is going to go there. He's going to start. He's going to be the star that, right, you know, we wished he was. And he didn't even see the field. He's seen the field in garbage time. So, yeah. And how do they trade for Christian McCaffrey? Like, these guys are actually operating at a level of 2K, you know, yeah, or Madden or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? So those things are very, very surprising and impressive. And I'm very jealous. I must say I'm jealous of all the teams. That's why I can't watch, man.
Yeah, I feel the same way with you, man. I think the thing that annoys me the most was the fact that the Houston Texans got a QB out of nowhere. I mean, yeah. I, I mean, I loved Stroud coming in, but if you told me he was going to play like that, I'll tell you, hell no, man.
No.
Like, what?
Well, I will say the Jets made him look very, very regular.
Well,
very regular.
And our defense is really good, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, until I thought that too, until the Browns game, I was like, geez, these guys are picking us apart. But here's the other thing too, is that I don't really get into college football, but I saw CJ Stroud just by looking at Garrett Wilson clips when he was drafted. And I'm like, who is this guy? Like, that's how good I thought he was. But, you know, silly me, I'm like, oh no, no Ohio State quarterback has ever been good. So we're not even, there's no reason to even think about that. But yeah, his arm strength and the accuracy was off the charts. And I'm a novice football watcher, and he stood out. I was like, maybe this Garrett Wilson kid isn't that good. It's just this quarterback is damn good. And yeah, he just looked incredible. And, you know, sucks to be the Panthers, right? Because they had the option to choose him and they went with Bryce Young, who I don't know what happened to him. I didn't, you know, I'm against picking any quarterbacks out of Alabama, because I think they're just a product of the system. But yeah,
so you're not a fan of Tua, huh?
No, not at all, man. Not at all. And
just kidding.
I hate him even more because he looked average against the Jets, but just the fact that people are like, oh, his arm strength, he has a noodle arm, and he's, you know, he's just tearing up the league and he's beating us. It makes it so much worse, dude. It's just a terrible feeling. I'm optimistic about my team, but I hate every other team and every other player out there, dude. I just can't stand any of them. Except for Aaron Rodgers. That was the only guy. That was the only guy, man.
Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, what do you think of some of the coaching firings that happened the last couple of days? Like Vrabel getting fired from the Titans?
That was kind of weird. Because he just came off Coach of the Year a couple of years ago, and you know, he didn't have the greatest quarterback. You know, he coached Ryan Tannehill to the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? They went to the championship game. So I don't know how you get rid of a guy like that, but you know, maybe they know something, you know, that's maybe they want to be in a position to get Harbaugh. Maybe they want to be in a position to get somebody. I don't know. But unless they let him go so that he can explore the opportunity in New England. That's the only thing that I can think of. You know,
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, just let him go to where he really wants to be. And maybe he expressed that at some point, and that's kind of why they let him go, because it didn't really make sense.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to us either. But I told Chris earlier, I said, any organization that went out of their way to trade Brown, the wide receiver for the Eagles, I think I would question a lot of the moves you make after you did that, because they still haven't found even the kid they drafted, who they, you know, advertised as a replacement for Brown. It's not Brown at all. Right, Brown is a superstar. And
yeah, I mean, they had Corey Davis and AJ Brown and Derrick Henry all on the same team, and those guys went to the championship game. And also too, I hope the owner of the Patriots writes on a napkin, you are no longer HC of the NEP, and hands it to Bill Belichick, dude, so he can fucking. I hope that's the way they fire him, dude, so he can get some payback for what he did to Jets fans, man.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Somewhere else, the torture. I don't know where.
Oh, it gotta be on the napkin, though.
It has to be on the napkin.
Come on, man.
That was so disrespectful, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they walk it, and it. Not that I don't give the guy his flowers, man. I appreciate him for what he is, but the whole skull and the hoodie and And the, you know, barely talking to people. Come on, man. You're overdoing it.
Yeah, that whole shtick has to be out of the league, man. Yes. But good for him if he lands somewhere else and he can continue his coaching and he can be miserable somewhere where we don't have to see him twice a year. That would be excellent. I would hate for him to go to the Chargers because they have Justin Herbert, who I think is incredible. On the defensive side of the ball, they have Mac, they have Bosa, they have Derwin James. Like, they have an incredible team over there, and I would just hate for him to go over there and have success.
That is the
that's one of the head scratching teams in the NFL for me. You have star power everywhere.
Everywhere.
How do you underperform?
I don't get it, man.
If the Chargers have been doing this since I've been watching football, the early 80s, since then until now, it feels like the same team. Tons of talent, and they just find a way to lose games.
Yeah, that's true. They've had a whole lot of talent. Dan Fouts, back in the day, you know, they had who's the kid whose son played for and it pains me that I'm forgetting his name. Kellen Winslow. They had so many star players, man, in that organization. LT,
Rivers should have. Rivers should have won a Super Bowl, man. At least, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's. I would have to say that's my least favorite player all time.
Is it because of the kids? Philip Rivers. Is it because he's had a football team?
I don't even know why I'm mad at him for reproducing, but I just actually that's probably why I'm mad. It's like I don't like that guy so much that I'm mad that he's bringing in more people into this world who are like him.
He's got seven kids.
Nine. I think he's up to 11 now, actually. He might be up to 11, but he's definitely got nine. Yeah, so I never liked that team, and I was so happy when we beat them in the playoffs the way we did with Sean Green running away into the end zone. I never liked that team. But after he left, I was like, oh, wow, I think I like the Chargers. But I think Justin Herbert is an incredible quarterback, man. And the Jets, I was there for that Monday night game, and the Jets, or was it Thursday night this year? I don't even remember. But the Jets made him look very, very regular, man. And they still won by a whole lot. But, yeah, the Jets just did a number on him too, man. But I think he's very, very good.
Yeah.
Well, where do you think Harbaugh ends up? You think he goes back to Michigan?
No, I think that's the place for him. If there's anywhere that he should go, is to the Chargers. That's the place where if he's going to go anywhere, that's where he should go.
Yeah, I totally agree. We talked about it too all year. I'm like, someone should go to the Chargers. They just need a change. GM. Coaching, everything. They just need a clean house, but they do have a base of good players. Like you said, they already got the franchise quarterback. That's like that's the battle right there. So,
yeah. How can they get rid of the GM though? Because the GM is the guy who put all that talent together, right? No, like, it's like you're firing the one guy who put all of these phenomenal players on the same team. Like, how do you get rid of that guy? But I get it, man. I get it. Maybe it's a change of philosophy. Who knows?
He probably made the coaching issue, because my question, the coach, he was known for being a defensive coach. The fact that he went over there and that defense not one game where you kind of tipped your hat to them and how well they played together. Overall, I mean, they had that game where they had seven sacks in one game. I think I can't remember who they played where they had seven sacks. Mac had like four sacks in one game.
That might have been the Raiders game or something like that. But let me ask you this. Let me ask you guys this: if Saleh is coaching, if Saleh is coaching that team, the Chargers team as presently constructed, how do they do? What does that team look like?
Oh, I think they're a playoff team with him.
Yeah. Yep,
right?
I agree.
So if that's the case, then you got to say, all right, if there's some offensive weapons here, then he can take this team to the playoffs, right? And I mean, I can't imagine a world where you have those guys on that defensive line and Salah's the coach, that they're not a perennial playoff team and winning that division every season.
Well, here's the other thing. Who's the OC? Because
either, right,
here we go.
Right.
I'm not confident in Hackett. I don't think Charmin is either. Well, how do you feel about Hackett? I know we talked about him a little bit, but
well, look, he has to be here because Aaron wants him here.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, maybe he's not the best choice, but you know, he has to be here because, you know, Aaron wants him here. So I'm willing to let that part slide. Like, again, he couldn't, with the team that they had, he couldn't, you know, he couldn't be that creative because they couldn't even do the basic things right. And that has a lot to do with the quarterback. Have we ever seen him with a phenomenal young quarterback? We have not. We've only seen
Never.
Him with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And then when he was head coach at, where was he? Who did Hackett coach?
Broncos. Broncos.
The Broncos, right? Who was their quarterback? We've never heard of the guy, right?
No, it was Wilson.
It was Wilson, but who before that? Who before that, though? I mean, look, even Russell Wilson, Sean Payton couldn't even fix Russell Wilson, right? And and he didn't even, they had their issues and he didn't even want him there. So, you know, you can't, was that Hackett's only season? I thought he was at
yeah,
the season before.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Well, he was with Jacksonville and he was with Buffalo before that. With
Jacksonville, but he was never
Blake
a head coach.
Bortles. He took Blake Bortles to the playoffs.
Championship game, no less.
Yeah.
We're a half away from beating the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
We were ahead in that half at halftime, I think, at that game.
Yep.
Or it was really close. I forgot. It was either tied or they were ahead. And then
That was the story of back then. Everybody was so close to beating the Patriots, unfortunately.
Blake Bortles, man. Blake Bortles. So yeah. So get a good quarterback, get Aaron Rodgers back and see. And then if you have to pivot from them, you clean house, you get both of those guys out of there and, you know, you start fresh. On the offensive side of the ball, I don't want to see Salah gone. Just give me a good offensive coordinator in there and, you know, and a good draft behind this offensive coordinator with his fit and his scheme, players that fit his scheme. Excuse me. And we move and we go from there.
You know what?
Yeah.
Just real quick, the Jaguars were up 17-10 after the third quarter in that championship game.
Yeah. And it wasn't Blake Bortles that failed them. It was just probably Tom Brady who's doing his thing and
Tom Brady
and took them picking apart defense, dinking and dunking his way to another Super Bowl.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, no way did we hate when we said that. We were just stating facts. That's what he did.
Right. Yeah, it's just let me throw this 5 yard out to Wes Walker, or let me, you know, let me dump this off to some running back who's been phenomenal that we've never heard of, right? Who just comes out of nowhere, and let him have the game of his life when it matters most.
Yeah,
you know, and that's a testament to coaching, but it's also like, you know, we know what Tom Brady can do, and you know. We have a scheme and we have the players that fit that scheme and we're going to maximize their talent and let them go out there and do their thing. And, you know, that's obviously what wins ball games, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Over
but
the
also
years,
he had, also he's had, you know, you can watch film of Tom Brady. He has hours back there. You know, he can, the offensive line was so
that
good.
That is very true.
He's pitching a tent, you know, he's, he's filing his fingernails. He can do whatever he wants. He takes a nap after the snap. You know, he can do whatever he wants. That's how much time he's had back there.
That's one of the things I think that have been least discussed is the run of offensive line prowess the Patriots had when they were good. Those guys were just, oh my goodness, like Pro Bowler, Pro Bowler, All Pro, All Pro, All Pro. on that line every year.
Yep.
Every year, it was ridiculous how many years they had these guys. It was like even the guy that you thought that was a weak link was like an all pro. You're like, huh?
Yeah. What? Yeah. And look, the three times they lost, what happened? Brady didn't have that much time.
Yeah.
They were getting to the quarterback. So, you know, if you give a guy time, any of these guys who are professional athletes, who are pro quarterbacks, they're going to find ways to pick you apart. Just give them time.
You know what? And the Giants gave the rest of the league the blueprint on how to beat
Brady. Yeah.
They showed you. Just get to him. You got to, like you said, you got to get pressure on that guy, because otherwise you give any quarterback a couple of seconds and they're going to find somebody. They'll find somebody
more than 3 seconds. If the guy gets more than 3 seconds, he's going to find somebody. Because there's not really very many cornerbacks in the league who can hold, you know, who can shut down a receiver for more than 3 or 4 seconds. Nobody. That receiver is going to get open.
It's true.
Yep, that is very true, man.
That's what makes DJ Reed so good, man. And I don't know if he can repeat what he's done the last 2 years, but he's been phenomenal, man. He's been phenomenal.
He really is. And the scheme plays into what he does well. Right. They could call so many different versions of coverages because of how good their corners are outside.
Yeah. He's so smart too, man. So smart.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Impressive. Again, that's one thing you got to give Douglas too. Douglas signed him, you know.
Right. That's right.
When I remember we were, as Jets fans, I don't know where you stood, but Chris and I were having this whole conversation. We're like, we don't need another corner. Apparently, we did.
Yeah. But check this out, too. Michael Carter has been the best. And I, for years, had to watch Kyle Wilson, right? But Michael Carter has been one of my favorite players to watch on this team, him and Jermaine Johnson. But Michael Carter has done an outstanding job, man, an outstanding job as the slot cornerback, man. He's been phenomenal. And he can move to the outside when DJ Reed, you know, went down or these guys had concussions. He was able to move to the outside and be successful. And even Bryce Hall, you know, poor guy. I mean, he lost the starting job twice. But, you know, he was effective when he was out there. So, you know, got to shout out Joe Douglas again for making those picks.
True. Very true, man. Hey, man. This conversation is awesome, man. We need to have more conversations like this. You know, I actually, you being a little bit more positive is actually a really good thing. You know what I mean? Because we're still kind of hurting from all that losing. You know, we needed a little boost to the spirit. So you brought that tonight, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. And you know, I get it though, man. I'm not gonna disagree with people on, you know, if they feel bad about the team, because there is reason to feel bad, but there is also some reason to feel good, man. And hopefully we get it right. And the season is only 18 weeks, man. I still have a good time at the games, you know, even after losses, it's a little deflating, but you know, the staff and the you know, the seeing all the fans and like you said earlier, the community. You know, the Jets community make this a whole lot of fun. It's really, really cool to be a Jets fan, man. And I hope people have that same experience, man.
Totally agree. Lee, listen, thank you again for joining us, and let everybody know where they could find you on Twitter, on Facebook, on social media, and also any shows coming up. Please promote
everything. Yeah. Thank you. I'm at Leo Valentin on Twitter, on Instagram. I'm at Lee Valentin. You can go to my site, leevalentin.com, and check out the shows. I'm on the road in February, man. I'll be opening up for Kevin Herrera and Nick Alex, two very good friends of mine. Very, very funny, man. We'll be in Virginia and Raleigh, North Carolina in late February. And then we'll be doing some stuff in on the road in Jersey, I think, in the beginning and middle of February, man. So check out the site, man, for all my dates. Come out, man. Follow me on Instagram. I don't do the Hoodie Johnson. I only say that for Twitter, but on my Instagram, I have this character called hood tech, which is just me being myself in the tech world. And yeah, man, shout me out, man. DM me, text me, whatever. You know, I'm always willing to chat about the Jets and anything else, man. But thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, always. Hey, real quick, how did you come up with the hoodie character? Because that helped a lot of us get through the season. I just want to let you know. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. I have to come up with an end of season hoodie Johnson sketch, but. When they did the One Jets Drive Twitter biggest fan or something like that, I realized that there was nobody that looked like me that was selected. Wow. So immediately that made me think of what would I do if I was in that position? And that was like the first iteration of kind of like the Hoodie Johnson. But to be honest, Hoodie Johnson is just my idea of what I would do as the owner of the Jets. You know, and I'm originally from the Bronx, man. And you know, it's kind of like me to some extent where I'm in a world where I'm in a corporate world. I'm trying to, you know, I still have my hood tendencies, but I'm trying to, you know, fit into this mold of, you know, I got to be the owner of a team. So that's kind of where it comes from. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that I talk about is just things that all the fans are thinking, or all the fans are talking about online and shit like that, and things that I would like to see. So I think that's why it resonates with people, man. And I'm glad that people enjoy it. And I love the interactions with the people and the other Jets fans. And that's why I do it, man. For everybody shows me a lot of love and they enjoy it. So I enjoy, you know, the people who are also enjoying it.
Ooh, man. Yeah, man. Aaron, look up. I'm outside. I'm the Jets.
You
definitely. I enjoyed your skits, all the whole time, man. They were pretty cool, man. Again, thank you so much for coming through.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you, guys, and make sure you guys tag me on this, man, so I can share it.
Definitely will.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Thank you again. Hey, any shows? And listen, anytime you ever want to come on again and promote any shows, or listen, if you want to chat Jets, the door's always open for you to join us. So you have an open invitation.
Appreciate that, man. We'd love to do it again. Cool, hopefully, man. It'll be sunnier skies in the coming years, man.
Very true.
All right, guys. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate you.
All right,
guys.
Have a good night.
Take care, man.
That was our show, and we'll see you guys next week.
Take it easy, guys.